Welcome to the House of Style podcast, a conversation series where we talk to prominent Australian interiors figures about their design journey, what inspires them, and where they're headed.
This is a deep dive into their past, present, and futures, discussing what it takes to become an iconic figure in today's interiors landscape.
With our background as style editors, we've crossed paths with some incredible furniture and homewares brands, designers, artists, and makers. This is our way to share their inspiring stories with you, the listener. I'm interior stylist Kerri-Ann Jones.
And I'm interior designer Jono Fleming. And welcome to the House of Style.
Today we're chatting with artist Damon Downey.
Yes, if you haven't heard of Damon, you might have heard of his music before because he was a member of Sneaky Sound System.
Right, how cool is that? Damon actually started off as an artist before he got whisked up in the music industry, a bit by accident, but he's back to his original passion, which is painting.
Damon has such a cool, distinct style, and his use of colour is really beautiful. He loves to use a lot of pastel tones. You've actually styled his house before, Kerri-Ann.
Yeah, I have. He has this amazing place in Bondi. It's his home and his studio, and it's really eclectic, filled with lots of colour and art.
He's done some awesome work in collabs with different brands as well. So we dive into that and we talk about a particularly cool standout that he did with Venroy.
Yeah, that was such a fun project. So let's get into it, and here's our chat with Damon.
Damon, thank you so much for joining us on the House of Style today.
My pleasure. It's good to be chatting with you guys.
It's good to have an artist on the podcast.
Yeah. So
let's, as we always do, let's take it back to the beginning. And can you tell us a bit about your background and where you grew up?
I grew up in Bellingen, which is sort of 25 minutes inland from Coffs Harbour. I guess it's, on the way to Byron, as everyone says, and it's a little tiny valley which had about 1,300 people when I left Bellingen. I think there's something like, I wouldn't have a clue, I think there's about 5,000 people there now, but it was a tiny, tiny town when my parents found it when I was 3 years old, which is amazing that they found this tiny town. Like, I don't know, because they came from South Africa. I was born in Cape Town and moved here when I was just a little baby. And so, they made the trek and ended up in Bellingen, which, it's so off the map. But I'm so glad they did, because it's just a perfect, beautiful little valley. And it was, obviously a strange little creative hub down there back then in the 70s. And so I'm so glad they found that town. And it hasn't changed much. It's still a beautiful, beautiful space. Yeah, it's great, great spot.
I was just there a month ago, 2 months ago.
Hey.
Just went through it. It's so pretty there. Like rainforest and rivers and everything.
Yeah, totally. And when you're growing up in a place like that, that's such a great little community that, there's kids can just run wild. There's no curfew. There's no, no stranger danger. There's rivers and rocks and, things that hurt. But apart from that, it was just this haven of kids just, kids are allowed to do what they wanted. End up having dinner at the closest house to where you are about dinner time and things like that. It was just just a great spot. And mum and dad, they didn't own it when I was a kid, but I'm not sure if you went there, but they own Sweet Bellingen, which is the lolly shop that's in town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, mum and dad, that's mum and dad's shop. So they're like the king and queen of all the kids in Bello. They rule that place.
That's so cool.
Well, it feels like as everyone's sort of venturing up to Byron, they're doing stop-offs now and Bellingen's getting a little bit more attention.
Busier than it's ever been. Like, they are really feeling it. Like, I was just up there recently and I bought this amazing ceramics off this local artist there, and she's just like, mind blown. It's just, it's just traffic is incredible, just human traffic. And so it's good. It's happening to all the little towns. So I'm glad that that's happening. So COVID has sort of saved the day, I guess, for Australian tourism, which is weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And so sounds like an amazing upbringing. Were you always creative as a kid or did that come later?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I always had a pen and paper in my hand and, and growing up was totally nurtured, especially through my grandma, mum and dad. So, I was always painting and always, painting birds. That was my thing. I was obsessed with bird painting. And so, that was, mum and dad really helped feed that. And everyone around in Bellingen was pretty sort of creative. I sort of failed at everything except for art and drama and music. So,
same.
Yeah.
Hence, I left school pretty early to go and study art. Yeah, so it was always there. Yeah, especially Mum said, you know, if I had a crayon in the womb, I would have been graffitiing the walls of the womb. So,
so where did you study art?
Just up in Brisbane. It was sort of, you know, TAFE kind of course for 3 years. But that was, you know, up in Brisbane. It was, I left in grade 10 and got invited to be an underage student to go and do that. And that was, so I finished my 3-year degree when I was 19, just turning 19, and then moved to Sydney then. So sort of hit the big smoke from Bellingen to Brisbane to here.
So when you moved to Sydney, because your background is also in music as well.
I fell into music. Like it was, I came here to be an artist. I was, you know, just turning 19 and I moved to Sydney with some $330 or something and moved to Glebe Point Backpackers and stayed in a hostel for a while. And I just had a big suitcase full of pastels and a suitcase full of clothes. And I just wanted to paint paintings and make art. But then fell into music purely by accident by rapping in someone's ear really tipsy one night at a clothing store opening. And the guy, which is Angus, he just said, oh, he was just a DJ back then. His name was DJ Mood.
Oh, I love it.
and DJ Mood said, hey, come and rap over this house music next Sunday or something like that. And then so I just borrowed a microphone and went and rapped over house music. And it just sort of blew up, like sort of went up. People just booked it. And all of a sudden, it was like history. And so that whole 14-year journey was purely like left field, totally left field for me. I didn't know how to play instruments. You know, I can play a tiny bit of the same 3 chords on the guitar, which annoys the hell out of everybody. And, you know, I can play Chariots of Fire pretty good on the piano, but that was it, really, before Sneaky.
And that's amazing because that was a pretty wild journey.
That was a long, wild journey. That was 14 years of fun.
Yes, I can imagine.
Like, that was really fun because it wasn't my industry. So it was just, for me, I took it seriously, but still at the same time, it was like, what's going on here? I was in that position of like, you know, this isn't my only thing. So, yeah, but I did miss painting and didn't paint for a while along the way. I always had, you know, pads and, you know, Moleskines and pens, but there's not a lot of time for it, not a lot of space to make messes in hotel rooms. So it was all, so that, you know, took a backbench for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were a known household name for Sneaky Sound System and it was a really big deal. Like,
I know, it's still crazy.
Yeah.
I've got 2 arias and they're sitting on the toilet as my toilet rolls. They're like, it's crazy.
When I styled your house for the photo shoot last year, I remember going to the loo and I was like, they're 2 arias on your toilet.
They make perfect toilet roll holders. Dan Rosen, who was the head of ARIA back then, I think he's got a new job now at Universal, but he came over to the house for a party once and he's like, what? He didn't know how to take it. He's like, I don't know if I like this or I hate it or I like it.
Yeah, I mean, they're the perfect shape for it, so otherwise they collect dust.
Otherwise they collect dust and I don't have a trophy cabinet. I gave up my 10-pin bowling career a long time ago.
So what was, after, you know, as you said, 14 years of Sneaky Sound System, what happened afterward? How did that part sort of end and then you transitioned to the next part of your life?
It was like cut, paste, new. It was really fast because sort of in my head, like, I don't know, we came back over to Sydney just for a break. It was like a 4-week, 3-week break or something to do a few little gigs here or something. I forget what it was, to record something. And then we had to go back to Europe and I just couldn't get on the plane. I was like, I can't pack.
Yeah.
I just don't want to, I just can't do this. Like, just didn't want to get on the plane. I didn't want to tour anymore. I was over it. I didn't own anything. Didn't own a bed or a house or a couch. I didn't have any pets. And so, you know, and no pets, no, I didn't have a girlfriend, nothing. I was just like, Sneaky was, that was it. It was like this suitcase and traveling. And so I just couldn't do it anymore. And so I stopped. And straight away, I met this guy, Charlie Hinkfuss, who does MCM House.
Yes.
And I met Chugger. And Chugger and I sort of clicked and we decided that we wanted to throw an art fair. And straight away, instantly, within a few weeks, you know, it was like 6 weeks later or something, we put together this massive art fair with something like 60 artists. And we did it at a big, massive, beautiful warehouse down on the way to the airport. just where the Supercenter is. And we did it over a weekend, and I painted a bunch of paintings for it, and it was a great success. It was huge, and it was sort of like this introduction into me being into the art, like, you know,
wow,
entering some kind of art world where it wasn't just me being an artist, it was me doing other projects because I love projects. That's how it first started. And so it was pretty much instant. As soon as I left, I just met Chugga, and we both just went around to all these artists and all these galleries and sort of, you know, and I sort of threw myself out there and in there, and that weekend was great. I sold all my paintings and shit just started happening. And then I threw a show about 4 months later, an exhibition. I hired a space in Potts Point, and I painted like 45 paintings for it. And,
You're making up for lost time.
It was like, it was, you know, and I got this great house in Bondi and this apartment, and I could paint on the floorboards, and it was beautiful and I had a great view. And so everything, I just felt right. It felt, you know, felt like a good start to it. And then that show happened and it sold out. So it was like, fuck, here we go. We're on. Like, you know.
Meant to be.
You're picking up where you left off.
Yeah. And, you know, like, and the truth of it is, like, coming from Sneaky and then guy from Sneaky throws exhibition, there's interest already.
Yeah.
If the art is shit, it doesn't, you know, like, if the art is whatever, like, there's, you know,
there's
like,
a
like, to be honest, like, you know, it was though, like, there was a, had the privilege of that part happening for this part to transition, but it worked out really well. It was pretty good, apparently, and so here we are.
That's an amazing start to your, you know, official art career. Is just, you just literally hit the ground running and boom, and it was a huge success. That's awesome.
But as I said, you know, had the Sneaky behind me to be able to push that and had pricked up everyone's ears and had some interest and that kind of thing. So, but it worked out, you know, turned out that I was still all right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Woo! Because it's like you're throwing yourself in it, and especially all this, like, I'm just painting expressionist stuff. So that show was purely based on color and balance and shapes, really. I wasn't abstracting anything. I was literally just doing an expression on canvas. So, you know, it was like fingers crossed that, you know, it made sort of sense to people as it did to me, which is kind of the struggle.
So you started the art career. Did you know, like, what your style was?
I knew I was an abstract artist, and I knew that I was a big colour block artist, you know, and I liked pastels and I wore pastels, and I sort of, you know, I've surrounded myself in the colours that I liked before, you know, I started painting. I was colour obsessed, and so that had to translate onto the canvas, really.
And that's sort of, and obviously it's evolved since then.
Yeah.
How would you say, what's the difference between your art style back then to now?
It has evolved a bit. What has evolved is my ability to be able to work within a few different styles now, like, still all definitely come from the same hand, but just through this journey of the last 10 years, I've been able to make ceramics. I've been able to, you know, create wall sculptures, you know, installations. You know, things have got, seems to have got larger, I guess, maybe. And I've moved into a sort of a collage-y movement as well, which I find really, really interesting, because I can do really sharp edges, which I have no patience for whatsoever. So I can do really clean lines and things like, you know, really, really fine blocks and things like that. And, yeah, which I can't do when I paint, because I just can't sit still.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this break. As stylists, we're always looking for that perfect piece to finish off the room. One of our favourite places to shop is Design Stuff.
From local brands to global favourites like Firm Living, Christina Dam Studio, Menu Copenhagen, and many more, each piece has a refined design aesthetic with a strong Scandinavian feel. You can find everything you need for the home, from decor to accessories to furniture. There's something for every space.
You can shop their entire collection online at designstuff.com.au or pop into their flagship store in St Kilda and see these beautiful products up close.
This is a stylist go-to and a definite favourite of ours here at the House of Style.
And back to the episode.
That sort of takes us to the present and what you're doing now. You mentioned that you use a lot of pastels and that you love pastels and you're drawn to it. Can you even verbalise what is it about those colours that you love?
I don't know. I've tried to verbalise before, but I just find that colour, primary colours and, you know, dark tones, I just find them so, I don't know, just too harsh, just too much of a headache. Where I find the softer tones, either left or right, is so, they're just so easy to live with and and love forever. You know, there's something like people buy art, live in their house like a window, right? You know, and that window, you want to look out for something beautiful, right? And you're going to live with that window forever. And so I don't want to be provocative and make harsh, dark, heavy, moody paintings. I want to make things that are light and bright and make you feel wonderful and that this sort of invisible space that, you know, you want to dive into or something. I don't know. It's like, yeah, you've got to, it's a window in instead of a window out. So you've got to live with that on your walls forever and ever and ever. So why not make it beautiful and pleasant? Like this, you know.
Yeah.
Without being, yeah. Because I don't get wordy, provocative art on walls. I just don't understand how to live with that.
Yeah, I like that. You know, you want your art to uplift people and inspire people.
Yeah, that's my role in painting. Other people have their other roles of being political and being, you know, really heavy and, you know, joining the MCA crew of like, let's, you know, really get heavy on this. But I want to do the opposite.
And yeah.
You know, and I'm fine. And I'm absolutely fine with that instead of being enjoyed.
Yeah, I love that. So where do you get your colour inspo from?
There's wonderful things from Dulux, this book called The Atlas.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the best fucking Bible on the planet. Like, hey, everyone should read that Bible. It's bonkers great. It's like, it's got it all. So there is my, that's, you know, and I love going to Dulux. I love that place. But walking down the street, like, you know, Bondi's got such great colours.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, and also when you're travelling overseas and that, you know, especially through Europe and Italy, like that, all that faded colours. They're so good. And so I just, you know, like to sort of replicate all that beautiful old patinery, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. So what does a typical day or week look like for you as an artist? Because I know your art studio is actually in your home as well. Like it's next to your bedroom. Yeah. So how do you sort of...
How do I try not to procrastinate? It's hard at home. Like where it's on a perfect day, on the perfect day that an artist should have, it's like wake up and go into the studio and paint all day long. I do that when I'm in like under pressure. And I really like the pressure part, like when there's commissions here and bang, 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 and they're like stacked up and I've been a bit lazy because I'm cuddling the cats or I've gone for a walk or whatever. That, then I love that pressure. I love that pressure part. But generally, I'm at home all day long, really. I don't venture out too much. North Bondi's far away, you know, South Bondi.
You live right on the water. You can literally see Bondi Beach.
Yeah. No, it's good because I don't – and having the studio at home, you don't feel like, and looking out to that, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. So I don't really have to go down there or out there. So I am at home and I do get a fair bit of work done, especially like when I am productive, it's really on, like it's on, like it's wake up in the morning and then midnight, wake up in the morning and midnight. And I love that because I am at home, I can do that. Plus I can have a 3 o'clock nap.
Love that. The best part of freelancing.
Oh, how good is that? 25 minutes, it's like the best thing ever. And then, you know, and I've got my own music and things like that. But if I had to go somewhere like leave to a studio or something, you know, one of those places which is, you know, I don't know. I don't think I'd get as much done. I wouldn't probably go there. But I like it at home. It's good. So, you know, wake up, cuddle cats, make breakfast, go to the studio, you know, make some calls, staff around the studio, and if it's super hot, I might go for a swim. But I am so close to the water here, like you just don't even go to the beach. It's weird.
Yeah, you're right there.
Like, you know, like if I was a block back.
Yeah. So we're freelancers as well, and you know, last year was a bit strange. But did you feel much change for the working environment since you are at home? Everything's at your fingertips anyway.
Yeah, not really. Like, not for me, and I've spoken to other artists as well. You know, one, they've never been busier. Because all of a sudden everyone's at home and they're redoing their houses and putting panties on the wall and learning how to cook and doing all these things that they've never done for or been putting off for so long. So we've all been quite lucky in this industry, I guess, although we haven't been able to do exhibitions, which is our, like, that's our stage performance. So we've just been sort of, you know, doing commissions. So it's been okay. Not much difference for me. My beautiful fiance, she was here the whole time, so that was different. But that worked out. We were good. And
we survived.
So, yeah, we survived that, and, you know, and it was great. So, yeah, so that was the only really real difference. But for other people, you know, you could tell in their faces when you're speaking to them on Zoom and stuff, it's, they're all stressing out.
But. So you talked a bit about, like, we touched on your paintings, but as you sort of mentioned, you've expanded into sort of more sculptural pieces and installations and things. How was that? What was that progression like? Because you've done some really cool installations, like the one that you did at Venroy.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That was good. Sean at Venroy. I like installation. I like really big, lots of the same thing. Not that is one big same thing sculpture, but like down at North Bondi Fish, I've done 93 pictures. All around the walls. I like that mass projects, things on mass, just fun. They just, you know, blow my mind. And the one from Venroy was a great one because Sean just said, just go for it, do whatever you want, like literally fuck it up. He said,
wow.
Story. that was a fun one because that's 1,600 little pieces of sculpture. All stuck all over the place. Yeah.
Wow.
Are they handmade?
So I hand sculpted a bunch of them. I think there's 22 or something. We ended up with about 22, I think it is, or 18 or 22. So I've made a whole bunch to see which ones fit all separately. So if you turn them upside down, they're a different shape or a different way. If you turn, you know, and then if you put two together, then they're different than those two together, And so there's no replication. So the statistic was mad. It was like, you know, there'd be like three replications over the 1,600 pieces or something.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was really good. So the amount, and because of all the colours were different, there was 18 colours, that puts a variable even larger. So then all of a sudden it just became this mad, crazy piece of explosion of confetti, which was the theme was for their birthday. So I just wanted to make it feel like you're inside some big confetti party explosion. So,
yeah.
And so that's and then they were all just laser cut out of just MDF really, and then sprayed, and then all hand sprayed with a machine.
Amazing.
That's so cool. We'll share pics of those on our Insta because it is such a cool.
It's super cool.
It's also like it's. Simple, but what you just described is a lot of maths that goes way over my head.
Yeah.
And it just made such a huge impact.
And it's not too much of a headache because if it was all darker and it was all primary colours, it would be like, but it's because it's all pastels. They just sort of soften out and make you feel good. Yeah.
So I've been to your house, but obviously many people haven't. Can you describe your personal style at home?
I don't know. What did you call it? You called it maximalist or something, didn't you?
I said it was like Luke Edward Hall.
Right. Yeah.
A little bit of that kind of vibe, but obviously with your pastels and an Australian version.
Yeah. I think it's no style. It's just a collection of stuff that just keeps building. And because I like the certain tones, it just ends up being like this collection of tones that are objects. And there's lots of them. And there's lots of vases and there's lots of stuff. But I still find it quite minimal, you know, weirdly.
What?
Yeah, like spacious. I find it really quite spacious in there. But like Georgia's like
it is spacious. I love that you've painted the walls pastel though, like in your living room, what we're looking at right now, it's pastel blue. And I remember in your bedroom was like a lilac.
Like a lilac yellow. Yeah, this yellow. Yeah. I like, you know, those old sort of 16th century castles and they're all pastel walls.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're all with like really regal old fuddy-duddy furniture. I find that really funny juxtaposition as well because like the colours, you know, this feels so modern, I guess, in those castles. The walls do at least, but everything else looks really old and dead. I always wondered what it would be like in those old castles if there was some strange time overlap or something and all modern, like retro, modern furniture all got put into old castles.
Yes.
Like, it'd be just,
oh, that'd look awesome.
I'm there for that.
I just got that inspiration from those old castles, those old regal castles with their pastel walls, which I love.
That's so
that's
cool.
Super cool.
That I was not expecting that at all, but yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, because like Imagine it. Like, oh, if you get rid of all the old furniture in those castles, modern, just super modern, it's so awesome. Great.
Next installation, maybe.
Yeah. In a castle.
Yeah.
Who are some creative people that inspire you?
Like, I really like what, like, Steve Ormandy and Louise Olsen do as a couple.
Yeah.
I love them. They get so much shit done, right? They are such cool people. They do such great work. This commercial, you know, they've got a commercial side. Then they've got this totally abstract, like, left of center side. They work together as a team. They just do great stuff. They do great stuff. And, you know, obviously she's from great pedigree, but, you know, you still hold your own in that stuff. Like, you know, so I think they're really great. And their daughter is about to do their first exhibition.
Oh, really? Cool.
It's unbelievable. Oh, my God. She does portraits. Look out for her. She's unbelievable.
They're stunning. I remember, yeah, seeing them a few years ago when I worked at Real Living magazine, and she is so talented.
Unbelievable. Like, she's cool too, and she's super duper cool. So, like, you know, that, like, watching that as creative people, like, you know, I like really like them. They're really great. And then other people, you know, like, I love watching Tam Johnson do her thing. She's got such her own style. Like she's really, really clever at running life. Like, both Tam and Patch, they're such a great power couple. I can see them on the cover of Vanity Fair soon. You
know, yeah. You
know? like they're great. I love watching that couple. They're really cool. And just, you know, generally there's lots and lots of people out there that just, you know, keep on doing what they do creatively, which, you know, it's sometimes a struggle, but battling your own vibes. But, yeah, just like watching people do stuff. I just like the doers doing.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
And so, speaking of doing, what are you working on at the moment? What are you doing at the moment?
Getting a show together, which, you know, again, piecing together a show, which hopefully I can do when we can get 200 people in a room.
Yes.
And then once that breaks, then, you know, have enough paintings stacked up so I can just hit Melbourne and hit Brisbane. So I really want to do some shows. I've never done a big show in Melbourne. I've done a show in Brisbane. Yes, yeah, I did a show. That was a great show. And then, yeah, just throwing exhibitions together. Plus, I want to start getting some products out there of, like, some of my vases and, you know, some of the ceramic stuff, which I can start to sort of produce and do that. I've set up my website. Finally, COVID made me do that.
I noticed.
After 5 years of, you know, every year going, this is on my list, I'm going to do this, and never doing it. Obviously, you know, it took me 3 attempts to get onto a Zoom call because it's not my forte. But I now have a website that is live, and it's Damon's Art Stuff.
We'll link that below as well.
And that's all my prints. Yeah, that's all my prints and things like that. So it'd be fun to just keep rolling, you know, prints and things like that. But I think more limited runs of sculptures and things like that. So I'm looking forward to doing
that. Yeah, that sounds really exciting. Yeah. Look, I've got a whole bunch of shelves here I'm ready to clear.
Yeah, it looks like they're pretty full. Pretty full. You need some pastel in there.
I need some more pastel. Oh, the pastels are on the other side behind me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Looking ahead to the future, we always start this part with a question that looks back, actually. What advice would you give to your younger self?
Save. Just be honest and, yeah, don't let anybody change your mind. Like, if you're onto something, don't let anybody change your mind. Take the advice, but, you know, if it works, it works. If it works for you, even better. But that's, I guess, in the abstract art world, that's kind of it, because you are literally just doing your own thing inside your own head and putting it down on canvas. So don't let anybody else sort of change that naive version of yourself, I guess.
Do you have any, like, long and short-term goals with your art and what you do? Like, how does that work for you?
Yeah, I guess, like, I've not been with galleries for, like, sort of by choice for a while now, just because of, like, I can do shows and I have the means to be able to fill a room with people and get sponsors and hire my own space and sort of do all the stuff the gallery does, and so I don't have to give them any commission. But you know, on the way, I think that model's sort of changing anyway. I think everyone's sort of wising up to it a little bit. But I guess, you know, popping on to a major gallery, that'd be fun. Doing another show in New York, doing a show in London, and then I don't know, just doing more, you know, bigger shows, bigger installations, and just doing, you know, just yeah, more, larger, same, bigger, lots more.
Yeah, you know? Like it.
And I guess and I said just, and maybe just setting up some commercial angle to it all as well. I wouldn't mind making furniture too.
Yes.
I think you would
yes,
be
please.
Awesome at that.
Love to make chairs. Oh, love to make chairs. Yeah, that'd be great.
You should, yeah, you and Charlie great. Should get together and collaborate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyone out there? I'd love to make some chairs. I'd love to make furniture. Great fun.
Yeah.
Amazing. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
I don't know, like maybe with a big studio up in, I still want to live in Australia. We're having a baby, so...
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, yeah, George is having a baby, which is fucking rad. We're having a little guy. Woo! And then, so we're going to... I wouldn't mind a massive building, a big, huge studio up there, up the house in Federal. And then, who knows? Yeah, just building my own bigger space. Eventually, this is going to be too small. And I want to start getting into bigger scale things. So a big space, big shed... Massive, gorgeous big studio shed with all the tools, all the bits, all the bobs.
Oh, awesome.
You know, taking my first child, born child, to school in 5 years. That'd be so fun. And then, yeah, that's, you know, yeah, yeah. Maybe having a big, big space to work in.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. I love it. Being an artist and dad life.
Yeah, with my own kiln, doing all, like having a whole big studio with everything.
Yeah, amazing.
That's the dream. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool.
Well, we'll move on to our fast five.
Yes. So quick five questions. What's your favourite colour? It's a tricky one.
Today I've been painting with this really great, so it's almost like a mushroom pink. It's really good. It's like,
ooh.
Like it's dusty. It's got a tiny bit of beigey in it, but it's pink. And it's really cool. I like it a lot. It probably has a name in the atlas, but I don't have it right now.
Cool.
Awesome. What is on your playlist at the moment? What are you listening to?
Anything that comes from these people called Playlister. They're great. They've come out of London and they're also here as well now, but they're on Spotify and they do everything, world music or just everything. If you want disco, they've got the best of the best. Obscure, really obscure stuff. So check out Playlister.
Yeah. It's Playlister. Done. Sure. Yes.
Awesome. Favorite place to eat in Sydney?
Sean's Panorama.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, that's the second. Oh,
that's the second one.
The second person that said that.
Oh, that chicken, man. The chicken with the sage under the skin and the creamed corn. Oh, Sean, I love you.
We're going to have okay, a word with them because, so. Yeah, that's you're the second guest to say Sean's. And I still haven't been yet.
Well, it's because their meals are so humble and, like, it's not, like, fancy at all in any, you know, it's plated up like an honest plating, it's honest sizes, and it's really, it's great. And, you know, it's hectic in there when it's busy. Like, and busy is only 14, 15 people or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, It's actually bigger than that. It's like 25 or something. But it's just madness. It's just great madness in there. It's really cool. Love it a lot. Tasty.
We sort of touched on it a bit, but do you have a dream collaboration or client or project? Talked about furniture and doing a bit more commercial.
You know, designing some wallpaper for Kelly Wessler, maybe like, you know, doing a print for a whole range of shirts for Gucci.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Put it out there. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. And then, I don't know, just any fun collaborations. I love collaborating. It's just, yeah, like all the people I've done it with, like, have given a pretty broad kind of go for it vibes. So, yeah, it's never been a headache at all so far.
Awesome.
Have you done many clothing collabs?
I've got one at the moment with Little Palmer. It's like little kids' shirts. Little Palmer, they're great. They make these great little kids' shirts all out of, like, I think it's bamboo, cotton. It's all natural and good vibes. They come out of Brisbane, and so there's a whole range of kids' shirts on that, so check that out. And I think I'm doing another range soon, or I'm a bit late actually delivering something for them. And then I did, like, Alice McCall runway. Like, I designed her runway. That was super fun. That was really cool. And then I've done, whatever, like, with... In the Roundhouse, I did a design for all their plates.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Yes, yeah.
There's a bunch.
And last question, favourite artist, dead or alive?
I like Picasso. He sort of feeds my zone of everything that I like, from his sort of scrivito-y, scratchy, just line drawing stuff into and his great use of pastels. And just like he sort of covers all of my bases, I guess, for everything, you know. So, you know, there's always, you know, ones that come and go, but he always sort of sticks there as great for my feed, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's it for now. Thank you so much. It's been so much fun chatting with you.
And maybe next time we'll come in there and say hi.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll catch you. See you at Sean's.
See you at Sean's, yes.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, great. Great sponsorship, great plug. Sean's Panorama, thanks on
campus. Awesome.
No worries, yes. Hey, see you soon.
Thanks so much to Damon for joining us on the House of Style. You can follow Damon on Instagram at Damon_Downey. For more info and to see our style edit inspired by Damon's home, click the link in the description for our website. You can find us on Instagram at House of Style Podcast. And remember to tell your friends and don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Thanks for stopping by the House of Style.
House of Style is powered by Logitech and Blue Microphones. Thank you to Lucy Stevens for our artwork and Samantha Poynton for our social media.